All right, welcome back to the Living Life Podcast. I'm Jason.
And Ryan, we're at episode three.
Today, we have Tony Davis on with us. Tony's a friend of ours. I used to work with Tony years ago, and he is our, I'm going to call him our local North Texas duck land lease guru. At least in my eyes, he puts us on birds all the time. Tony doesn't guide, but Tony has tons of land he leases. Oh, I got a message. I'm going to start it over.
What the heck is right error?
Like the memory card's not right.
What the fuck? We're having all kinds of technical difficulties tonight.
I know. The son of a bitch. All right, stand by. I don't know. It's still recording, so we'll just roll with it.
Okay.
So
edit button.
Yeah, I don't. So it's doing it again. I guess we'll see if it works or not. So Tony leases a bunch of land up North Texas, Red River area, and I don't know, he's always kind enough to invite us up for pretty damn epic hunts on a regular basis during duck season. Tony's also a small business owner, him and his wife. So I guess we'll start off. Tony, how do you find this land to lease consistently every year?
The beauty of it is it's home. A lot of this land is land from when I was even a kid. Back then, nobody cared. Me and mom and dad owned a business here in town. They owned a donut shop called North Cuts Donuts. And all those farmers and ranchers, they came in the donut shops, little kid, you know, fish bar. Nope, I would kill them, get them out. I'd be like, ha, they're in, can afford to, you know, to have some places. But that's why we're, you know, Easter year. I mean, Arkansas, I mean, that's why I love to go to Arkansas. But for Texas, it's pretty doggone good. Y'all seen it. Sometimes we do a good job. Even we'll see a bunch of ducks, and we may not shoot a bunch, but, hey, they were there. It's just our fault for not getting them in. But there's a lot of times we do shoot a lot of ducks. So that's, I guess that's why they call it hunting, not killing. But I mean, y'all both been here, so
I don't think we've had too many hunts over the years with you where we didn't at least kill something.
No.
Well, I know, but
unless my brother comes.
So different. JD kind of does that for us, but hey, we love JD. He's got to be here with us. But I don't know. The one thing about it is my wife, she kind of gets a little bit embarrassed at times. I'm like, I tell a customer one day, they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, here's the deal. You look at the map, and ducks don't see highways. They see rivers. They see creeks. They see, oh, there's a pond over here. Oh, man, look at that big old city called a big old Lake Ray Roberts or whatever. By the way, they follow the water. So, you know, if your properties are on some good creeks and, you know, and stuff like that, you should have some good duck action. But location's what kind of been kind of beat in my brain, and it's paid off. My good buddy, he's taught me a lot, and he owns a lot of land, but just he's shown me what you need to look for, and so that's what I look for, and as you can kind of see, it works. And if you walk out there, and I looked at a property the other day that was had 11-acre lake, Ducks Unlimited built a levee in it, across the middle of it to put blinds on. I mean, it looked spectacular. It was tiered like five times, meaning like you started at one elevation and you kind of dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. This friend of mine, he was looking at buying it. So it's 141 acres, quite a bit of land, money for that, for what I think it's worth, seeing that I grew up here, but around 12 grand an acre. But you could literally take the first tank and pop it, and now you flood one wetland, and then you go down and it just, you keep going, and you can have a tremendous, this great wildlife. Problem is that I get there and I go, I don't see any ducks. And I go, well, if I go to my place this afternoon and there's ducks, that tells me it's not a good place. I go to my place, and I think I sent you the picture, Jason. It's like 100 blue wings on the wetland, and you know, it's really low on water. We need tons of water right now. So I told me, it's like, okay, I'm out on that place. That's not good. So I always kind of go back to my home place, my place out in Ivanhoe that I took y'all to many times. And I go look at a new place and I don't see birds, but I go out there and see birds at my place. That's not a good place to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Makes sense. Speaking of water up there, how's that new Bodark Lake coming along up there?
Man, they need to hurry up and finish. That's we need that thing to flood out.
So
last year I
pulled up a picture of it on just the BodarkLake.org, and there's a picture of that bridge on FM 897 from.
It's a great bridge.
Okay, so it looks like, I don't know, you know, north, south, east, west, which direction. It looks like it's going to be the west side of that bridge. It looks like it's all flooded timber.
Correct.
So holy
what
shit.
They did is, yeah. So that's all the old Lanius Bottom. And the Lanius Bottom, there's a place called Love Lake. And kind of give you a little history, the place that y'all go and hunt, that is a prairie field. That's the old prairie back in the old days. And that property used to be the old Sam Rayburn farm. So Mr. Sam Rayburn owned that, plus my buddy's ranch. It's like 750 acres, which is right across the street from it. And the this guy named Joe Haggerty, and I don't know Joe real well, but Joe bought this place, and when he got ready to sell it, he sold part to some guys that I went to school with. Just one's an ag teacher, and they run cows, just kind of like me, just so simple Fannin County guy. And the rest of it went to my buddy Sherman. But land is just different right there. I can tell you that, hold on just a minute.
Okay. Ryan,
I was looking at this lake. It's 16,641 acres.
Yeah. Did you see that picture I'm talking about on that website?
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Oh, you're good.
That land over there is the Lanius Bottoms, and Love Lake kind of runs up in there. This guy bought Love Lake, and that was one of the premier places around here. It was holding like tens of thousands of mallards, and the lake has incorporated. That's going to kind of be some of that area. And here's a 100-acre lake. The last year, the game warden told me, he said there was about 30,000 mallards on the new lake, that, and there was probably 50,000 waterfowl on the new lake that just sit there all day long because nobody messes well. And hunting around here was terrible. People say it's the worst year they've had. Some reason or another, and I, y'all kind of know, because, well, Ryan doesn't, but Jason does. We knew where the roost was, which is right there beside my place, and that fed me. And that was, thank God, I mean, never knew that, but that fed me. So that, all that little area that you're talking about, Jason,
yeah,
that land, they cut the creek. That is Bodark Creek. They widened it to to make the water come into the lake, but they left the trees, they said, to keep the debris kind of a filter. It's a filtration system, is what I've been told.
Okay.
You're looking at, I mean, kind of look at Lake Fork. What do you think? 5-6 years before the trees start dying off?
Something like that? Yeah, something like that. But then they stay established with tops on them, with the canopies on them for probably at least 10 years. I mean, I've been on Fork since I was a kid, and, you know, there's still timber, but it's finally starting to really diminish. But,
well, I don't mean timber. I mean actually live trees.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I say that is 90% of the trees you're seeing, those are oaks. That's why the ducks haven't left. They're all acorns falling in those trees. So that's why the Lanius bottoms were the premier hunting after the peanuts went away. Peanuts were all in the Red River Valley, kind of like our place that we go and hunt. That used to all be peanuts. And that's why the ducks are imprinted there.
Okay.
Everything was maize and peanuts when I was a kid growing up here. And then it went to what you see now, cotton and corn, and ducks love corn, but they hate cotton. I'm hoping this new lake really makes it a haven. So far, it seemed to really work. It's just the ducks don't have to get off of it now.
So is this lake going to be huntable?
Supposedly, yes. Definitely fishable, but they have people living on it. So the places that you just talked about being flooded land, that's going to be the hunting spot, I imagine.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I mean, like, you know, most of the lakes, you know, you can hunt them if they're allowed to hunt. It's 300 yards from a residence or a state park or a boat ramp, whatever is all you have to be away. So basically 900 feet away. And you can shoot. So, may have to bring the old mud boat up there. Have they opened the boat ramps yet?
No, they're not. That's the deal. They got to finish the riffraff on the dam.
Okay.
So they finish that. They're not letting all the water in. So, there's a lot of water there right now. For a duck hunter, it's perfect water. Not enough to open the lake. You'll see water by the boat ramp, but I bet it's 20-30 feet from the docks to the water.
Yeah, if they would just open it, though, I don't care. I'll find a way. We got rangers and razors. We can get a boat in the water.
Right.
I got plenty of people we can put on. It's not that. It's just... Right now, kind of like that guy Love Lake, he is. They plan to hunt it because until they finish that riprap, they're not allowing the water to get high enough. So I think it's 30 foot or 40 foot below the bridge right now, 30 foot, something like that.
Okay.
They're expecting another 20, 30 foot of rise before it's where they want it to be.
Really, that's a lot of water. Oh,
yeah, and we got to have rain for that to work too.
Yeah, exactly.
The great thing about that is, if you gave us a 5-inch rain and they close the gates, I think it would be almost full.
Really,
it's just the way that. Yeah, it's
the runoff and stuff
right there. Yeah, okay. It's a big old bowl right there.
So what?
And Lake Bonham dumps into it.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. So I'm sitting here looking at this map and. It looks like, is that, I'm assuming that's Lake Bonham on the far west side of it?
Right, that's the dam of Lake Bonham.
Okay.
So the spillway will run into it.
Okay, so it'll keep Lake, it feeds Lake Bonham then?
No, Lake Bonham will feed it.
Really?
Yeah, and all the river, all the creeks and rivers run north here. So anything from Trenton is running to Oklahoma right now.
Okay.
I know it's kind of confusing, but
yeah,
the way it works here. So
yeah, because
Honey Grove Creek is one of the big creeks. Bodart Creek is one of the huge creeks. They tie those two together, and and you've got a new lake.
So it looks like that, unless this map is, no, it's not orientated wrong because it's got Oklahoma on it showing it.
Yeah, I was just looking at it too.
The dam is on the northeast corner of the lake.
Correct, because that's the way the water runs.
So the water runs south to north?
South, from south to north.
Really?
And
is it that's just because of elevation?
I would assume so. Hey, do you remember, not last year. Do you remember I took you out north of Honey Grove on a piece of property? We showed up and I was like, there's people hunting. Let's go to the next place.
Yeah.
And then we went to the huge lake.
Uh-huh.
That north property, north of Honey Grove, that place, that creek, Bodart Creek, ran right through the middle of it.
Okay.
That's how far north that creek runs, and not too far away from there, maybe as a crow flies, less than a mile or so, is where the dam is.
Okay.
So the dam runs from right there around Honey Grove area, you know, north of Honey Grove, all the way almost to Baum. It's a long ways.
Wow. That is,
it's going to be around 26,000 acres. And then, you know, once the trees start dying off, then you'll really see the scope of the land, you know.
Lake. So I'm assuming there's zero plans on it being open anytime in the next 6-9 months.
No, not. I was told maybe sometime next year is what I was told.
Okay.
There is a possibility next year, but not for this season.
See, because on their timeline, on their website, it said dam substantially complete summer of 21, but I think we're past that.
Yeah. Now, they have already started the Ralph Hall. And Ralph Hall is the other lake that's south Pennington County.
I did not know they were doing another one.
Yep, Sulphur River is being dammed up and making another lake.
Okay, and I knew they were trying to dam the Sulphur River to do that because I have some friends from college that are like Dangerfield area, and they were trying to take a bunch of their land, family land, to do that, but it sounds like that's pushed a little bit.
If they had land, it's Ladonia.
It sounds like they've moved.
Bug Tussle, not quite Ben Franklin, but it's around a 20,000 acre lake. I think it's 17, 20. I have to look it up, but it's not quite as big as the Lower Bodart, but it is, or the Upper Bodart, whatever they're calling it, but the. It's very close to it. So we're going to have two huge, you know, two big lakes here. It's going to be pretty cool.
So,
the website, Tony, it shows that this is all for like drinking water and water for new people.
It's all to feed Metroplex growth.
Are you guys still seeing the boom up there that we're seeing in Central Texas around your area?
Oh, it's crazy. The land values have skyrocketed. We have people from California, quite a few other people, but a lot of people from the Metroplex. But, you know, COVID changed the scope of living. A bunch of people don't have to report to work anymore. They live, you know, they work from home and
live on the outskirts. Yeah.
Right. So many customers like, well, I don't have to go to the office anymore. So I hate living in Garland. Now they bought a place here, and we have tons of people that sold in California, and you know the price of California is very expensive, and they sell there, living on a lower income, lower medium home, and come here and buy a pretty fancy home, you know. So,
yep.
And that's what I'm seeing the most is a lot of new growth. It's not. You know, Joe down the road just finally got a good job and can afford a new home. No, it's all new people.
Yeah.
And they, ex- a friend of mine, you know, same guy that taught me a lot about duck hunting, he paid a guy to give him the scope of what's going to happen over the next 15 years. And his projection, he's a analyst that does this, the value land. So the projected growth here, in his mind, is in the next couple of years to probably be around 30,000 people in Fannin County. And I don't know where we're at now, but I know we're around 10 in Bonham. But he expects by 4 years after that to be around 60,000, and by 10 years to be around 150,000 in this area.
So current population or population in 2019 in Fannin County was just a tick over 25,000 people.
Okay, so they're thinking 30, and they're expecting it to double every 2 to 3 to 4 years every time.
Hold on. My research sucks. That was Fannin County, Georgia. So 35,500 though was 2019.
35,000?
Yep.
Then maybe he's talking about bomb. All I know is that the land values are supposed to increase over the next 4 years, 15% a year.
Wow.
And we've seen that. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I looked at some property and I told the realtor, I said, that's just way too much. And I think it was $4,000 and, it was $5,300 an acre. And I think I offered them $4,300 an acre. And of course, they turned me down. They never sold it. And it's still for sale today. But what I've learned now is that land 6 months ago was 8,000 an acre. Today it's 10,000 an acre. And tomorrow it's going to be probably 11,000 an acre. And 2 months from now it's going to be 12,000 an acre. And it hasn't stopped. They sold a place here the other day that was quarter of an acre. I think it was 30,000 for the quarter of an acre here in town. I mean, this is property you could have bought 2 years ago for $1,000, you know. It's just we're seeing more of the Metroplex pricing here in town.
It's going up everywhere. I mean, you know, we went in as a family and bought that piece of property in Argyle, and we're having to do some stuff so I can get this build started for us on it. And the current market value, a realtor just ran last week, I think we're at, let's see, we're at like almost 300% in a year, not even a year.
As I say, I know that what y'all pay for it then to today has got to be a lot more, because everything around us just keeps going up. It's crazy. It's like you keep looking at it going, it's got to be maxed out. Nope, we got a little more to go.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's insane. And, I mean, it's everywhere. It's not, you know, we see it here too. And bidding wars and all this jazz and God, who knows?
Yeah, we're right at 4 times per acre the value right now. And the end of November will be a year, and it's 4 times the value in a year. It's nuts.
Yeah, acre of land in town is, if it's in good area, it's about $160,000 an acre. And somewhere in that area. Yeah. That's what everybody's got it priced at. We'll see. Some of it has sold at that. Some hasn't. It's just been how small it is.
Yeah. That's what they're valuing right now in Argyle, in town, in the city limits, and acres, right around 200.
Gotcha. There's my wife and I, you know, we bought 11 acres that attached to our home property and our store property. So it made us have a little over 15 acres here in town, somewhere in there. And we're right in the middle of Bonham. So we're one of the few that have, you know, a decent amount of land. It's like, we don't feel like we have neighbors, you know, it's a little different here. But I've just been kind of holding on, thinking about a warehouse, thinking about developing, putting some homes on it. And my buddy Sherman kept saying, just hold on to it, hold on to it. And I kept going, now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to build a home. He goes, leave that land alone, don't touch it. And I never would quiz him as to why. I just knew my friends made a lot of money selling and developing land. And I was like, okay, I'll just listen to him. I got hunting to do. I ain't going to worry about the land. And so now I look at it and I go, man, that guy was smart, because this land is worth so much money now that all I got to do is really just sell the land. I don't have to build nothing. The land is... I mean, she's paid hardly nothing for this land, and now it's worth quite a mint. So kind of like a 401k, it's my friend told me, he said, you can't go wrong buying dirt. And I believe him.
Now you can't, man. I'm a firm believer in that. There's land doesn't lose value no matter what.
No, and I tell you what, you know, the land that we hunted the roost on
this, yeah,
last year, that roost farm was 66 acres. I was offered that land for $3,500 an acre. My buddy Sam had bought it for $3,400 an acre, and he offered it to Sherman and I, and Sherman's like, nah, let Tony have it. And Casey, we had Sadie, which was a lot of medical issues going on. I was like, nah, I just don't know if I need to buy that. It's like, I'm not going to build there. It's not, and just, it didn't seem right for hunting, and I didn't know it was a roost at that time, or I'd have been like, yeah, I'm all over it. But, and that is a Ducks Unlimited pond, by the way, so it's not like I was looking at just a junk place. It just wasn't the right place at the right time, I guess. But right. Sherman goes, well, if you ain't going to buy it, I'm buying it. It's like, fine, big buddy, go get it. And so he did. 6 months later, he sells it for $5,500 an acre. Seriously. And I go...
Just turns it.
And I go, wow. And he sold it to one of his clients. And so we retained the hunting rights for, I don't know, 2 years. And we really never hunted the place. Just let it sit there. I mean, that place sat there 5 years and we never hunted. We had blinds on it. I said... he finally comes to me and goes, you ought to buy that place for $5,500 an acre. I go, well, I ain't paying $5,500. I could have paid $3,500 a year ago for it. Why would I do that? He goes, oh, it'll be worth $6,600 here in another 6 months. I said, oh, my God, Sherman, get away from him. He buys it for $5,500 from his client, and a year later sells it for $6,700 an acre. And I go, so right now he's made nearly $250,000 off one piece of property in a year and a half, and he ain't done nothing but just buy and sell it.
Bought it and sold it twice now?
Yes.
Jeez.
And it's like, that's what I've been watching people do around here. They just buy the land. 6 months later, they sell it. Watch a lot of these old guys that aren't much younger, you know, older than me, and they ain't have nothing. Just had just some old kind of, you know, land they had some cattle on, and the next thing you know, they're millionaires.
Wow.
It's quite a different, it's quite different now here. But, you know, y'all will be blown away. The land right beside mine, I think there's 6 trailer houses right there beside the wetland, pretty close now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So this year we give them a good old 10-gauge welcome. They haven't experienced hunting season yet. They just built them over the summer.
That's going to be awesome.
Wakey, wakey.
So, if you want to go in and tell us about what it's like running a small business and doing it with your wife, and is it good? Is it bad? Is it?
Well, as you know, I was a tool and die maker for 14 years, so messing with metal was my forte, not being a salesman. The But my wife and I, we own a furniture store that her dad started. But started with antiques, and the she graduated college, and then she wanted new furniture. So here came new furniture, and here we are today. We bought that in 2012, and January 2012. So, is that right? Yeah. Yeah, 2012. So, this January will be 10 years of being in business with my wife. The it's got its good and its bad, you know. Different with, I guess, with what y'all do is y'all can kind of walk away from it and then come back to it on Monday, and it's not as, you know, big of a deal where our business is 24/7 and 7 days a week, because customer service is the number one thing, not just selling it. The they can go anywhere and buy the furniture. Kind of got to rub their back and let them know that they're appreciated. And you can't just hire somebody to do that for you. So you got to be there. You're married to your business. So even though my wife and I, we love each other and we're, you know, in love with each other. Not nothing about that. Just we're partners. It's like, you know, it's just different, and I wouldn't change it. But man, it sure was easier to manipulate metal than it is people. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah,
but metal didn't talk back to you.
Yeah, you could get mad at metal and throw it, and it's okay. It's kind of hard to throw a customer.
Well, it's not so much just throwing the customer. It's just if you made a mistake, you could weld it up and fix it. You could do something to repair it. But sometimes with people, it's harder to do that with, you know?
Yes. Oh, it is. It's, yeah, people have a personality and they hold grudges. That metal doesn't hold a grudge.
No. And the, but I wouldn't change it. I honestly wouldn't. The, my kids are well took care of. The, you know, I'm still simple. I mean, God honestly went to school and very little education. Decided in the middle of my senior year, it's like, you aren't going to tell me what to do. I quit school, and that was stupid. But went and got my GED, and I started college because had an uncle that was willing to pay for me to go to A&M and become an engineer, and I was in school and I was doing it, and decided I don't like this. I don't want to sit at a computer. I want to work with my hands. So lo and behold, I went to window manufacturing, and they was 18 years old. They wanted, and that's when they paid us, and I worked there. And that was my first gig, really. And I worked there for a few years and really learned. And that was back when Wyndham had a bunch of old hands, and you got kind of took under your wing. And the job that Jason had as running the millwright shop, a guy named MJ Carnes, he ran that, and he ran that for years. Him and Joey, or not Joey, but Joe and Bob Wyndham, Joey's dad and uncle, they worked with my dad and uncles at Dahlgren. And my dad was one of the programmers. My uncle Junior was the shop foreman for Dahlgren, and my uncle Robert was the QC manager. So, and Joe and Bob were programmers with my dad. That was the biggest shop in Dallas at that time. So that. You know, just me walking up and going, hey, I like a job. So he's kind of like my uncle took me. He's like, he needs a job. Give him a job. So when I come back and I met you, Jason, I had been gone away for I don't know how many years, but Todd and all of them were there when I was there a long time ago. So was Mike and McCorkle. There's several of those guys that were there back when I first started as a kid. But it was fun. I kind of miss all that. But furniture, being your own boss, it's got its own perks, of course. But one thing about it is I wouldn't change it. There's times that I'd like to go do something else. I look at other people and go, man, I'd like to be able to not have to be at work. You know?
Oh, we lose you, Tony?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, ma'am.
Cut out.
Sorry.
Oh, all good.
You know, we don't take lunch sometimes, but actually we don't take lunch. We just, sometimes we have food delivered or we have food there, but we never go to lunch. It's not, we're there. We close and we take the kids and go do stuff. It's, we have a good life. I don't think that I'm complaining one bit at all. It's just, it's very demanding on certain areas of being self-employed.
Yeah, you know, definitely. It's kinda like, it has its perks, but it has its drawbacks too.
Well, I don't mean it has its drawbacks. I don't mean it that way. I just mean every different kind of self-employed business has different kind of demands. Some are long hours and hard work, and some are taking you mentally and physically into the project where you just can't do anything else. You know, one thing great about our deal is between right after like 23rd of December till the 2nd or 3rd of January, we close down, and you know, that's our don't do nothing, go on trip, whatever. And we, since the girls have gotten a little older, we do sometime in the summer, we'll close down for a week and go to the beach or whatever. So we're not just, you know, it's not like we don't have any breaks at all. I love it. I mean, it's not like I show up and somebody tells me what to do all day. It's, if I want to put a bed together, I put a bed together. You know, it's just it's different.
Dude, I think that's the best part about working for yourself is there's no one to tell you what you can and can't do. You know, obviously right. The customers dictate a lot of that, and I think that's for all three of us and what we do. But still, in the end, if you did lose a customer, there's more out there. And no one, there's, I don't know, for me, it's just, there's no boss. I don't have to report to anyone. You know, tomorrow morning, if I don't want to get up at 4:30 or 5 and head to the job site, then I'll get up at 6:30 or 7 and go. You know, that's not in my nature, but I always have that option, and I love that.
Well, it's the one thing I can tell you is after I probably was 22, 23, kind of quit duck hunting and really got in back into deer hunting. Now, when I was, I think I was 13, somewhere in that area. excuse me. I think that's when I shot my first deer. But I might have been 14, somewhere in that area. But and deer hunting just had me. Now, we always fish. Me and my buddy, we fish these. I mean, there ain't. We were driving down the road and we seen a pond. It looked like it was good. We just pulled over. We jumped the barbed wire fence. We ran out there and started fishing. And somebody come by, they would go, hey, what are you doing on my pond? I said, hey, I'm Tony with North Coast Donut. Oh, yeah. Hey, Tony, go ahead and fish. And on they would go. I mean, it just, nobody ever messed with you. And it's great. There's a lot of ponds around here that have some really good bass in them. But after that, I got the deer hunting. And then the next thing I know, I'm just driving down the road. It's like, huh, that's a good looking place to go deer hunting. I just park the truck and get the gun and go right out in the field, and you know, and somebody come by and go, hey, what are you doing out in my field? Oh, hey, Tony, what are you doing? All right, well, just let me know next time you're here. No problem. And I mean, just nothing like that today. But I can tell you, to owning the store, I kind of gave up deer hunting because you really got to put a lot of time in the seat to see the good deer. You know, you can go out there sometimes, you'll see them quick. Sometimes, got a customer that bought a piece of property, 30 acres, and doesn't really deer hunt. It's like, I think I'll go deer hunt today. Sits his bag chair out in the middle of this the pasture, sits down, 30 minutes later, shoots a 160-inch deer.
It's holy like, shit.
Yeah, seriously. Only been there 30 minutes, just bought the property. And Clint's a great guy. But with that said, I just kind of quit deer hunting after the girls were born. We took over the store because, hey, we don't open the store till 9:30. Y'all know it. We can go out to my places. We can shoot a lot of ducks. And I can still be back at the store and open it up and sell furniture. It had a wonderful morning, you know. So the duck hunting just kind of seemed to fit the bill for being a furniture guy, and I've always loved deer hunt. I mean, duck hunting, but the I'm blessed with a friend that has that land. I get to go out there after duck season, actually, because it's MLD and be out till February 28th. So I'll shoot a couple of deer between January 31st and February 28th, and I feel accomplished without having to be a deer hunter, you know. So I, the duck hunting is, really become my passion, and I really don't even look at places that have deer on it. I look at it's got the right smart weed and millet or whatever in that crop. I'm ready, you know, but and speaking of that, we're going to have to plan y'all's time when y'all are coming.
Well, then you got to plan Ryan's time. You know, I'm good for the most any phone call.
You know, most of December, November's kind of booked, but most of December's pretty open.
That's what you said last year.
Yeah.
It's open more this year.
He had a boss last year. He didn't have a boss now.
Nah, I am a boss.
So okay. He's already taken the whole month of November off to hunt, so might as well take December off too.
I'll ask Stacy about that.
Oh, she knows. She's good with it.
Seriously, dude, it's to the point. Like, Cass has a trunk or treat at her school tomorrow night. And as soon as we get done with that, me and her are headed to the deer lease for youth weekend. Got to get her back in time to trick or treat Sunday night. And then I'm leaving next Friday. Me and Knox are going back to the deer lease for rifle season. And then turn around the next Thursday and go to Amarillo to go sandhill hunt. Come back from that Sunday and then turn around and Ryan and I are going to a undisclosed location for like 4 or 5 days to hunt public for ducks. So
why are y'all hunting public for ducks?
It's a place I found. I want to give it a whirl.
Gotcha.
It's got a couple DU impoundments on it. It's
that they say you can't get to.
Yeah, I told the guy at the office. I said, "You've never seen me with the mud motor."
Challenge accepted.
And there was only 66 people that pulled permits to hunt the lake this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you know, you came a long way since you and I built the first mud motor.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know where that mud motor is?
No.
Ryan's, our buddy McKay down there that lives by Ryan now has that mud motor.
Really?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So Ryan bought it from me. He never paid me, but he bought it from me. And then
transfer of money.
Then he sold it to someone else. Then I actually got my money. And then that was the boat and motor. And then what'd he do? That guy took the boat to a private lake that can't have an outboard. So he gave that motor back to Ryan. Ryan's like, you want it? And I was like, I don't have a use for it. So then McCade has it now. And he has it on a like 1950s tin can V-bottom boat.
14-foot, 12-foot V-bottom.
But tell him what happened when you went hunting, Ryan, with him.
We,
till season so, this year.
Yeah, you know, McCade can probably tell a story better than I can because he was hanging on for dear life. So we go to Lake Granger. He thinks he finds an island where the teal are roosting.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll go hunt, whatever. We get out there. We went on a Friday, so during the week. I'm like, okay, cool. No boats at the boat ramp. We're all in. We throw our decoys out. McCade's fixing to get up and go park the boat. Now, he's polished this tin can boat to the point where it has like a mirror finish on it. So it is bright and shiny and silver. So he's like, I'm going to go park the boat. I'm like, yeah, probably a good call. Just go park that a ways. So he jumps on the boat. We're in waders. It's summertime. September or something. So he is jumping on the boat, gets it up, and as soon as he does, he hits a stump that's like literally an inch and a half under the water. So that V-bottom kind of teeter-totters on the side of it, and then he falls out. When he falls out, that motor has no neutral, no reverse, no stop. So the motor stays running. He is clinging to the side of the boat. The boat is doing circles, and it's like four or five circles before he reached up and grabbed the kill switch. He was soaked head to toe, and his waders were 100% full of water. We saw zero ducks that day.
So, the good news is that motor still runs like a top. It's been rebuilt twice internally in the motor, the actual engine part, by me and hopped up. But everything else, I would service it annually, like check bearings and stuff and all the stuff we built and, you know, grease everything and then change some of the bearings like every 2 to 3 years. It hasn't been serviced. I've had my new boat and mud motor for 5 years this month.
Oh, it hadn't had a. It may have had an oil change since then.
Still runs maybe. Like a top.
Maybe. But yeah, it still purrs. It does what it's supposed to do. But McCade will learn to wear his kill switch from now on.
Well, it's law now too. So.
Yep.
So when is the new snow goose dates? Is that going to be the 6th through the or something like that?
I'm looking. I've got it on February 4th through February 11th.
That's a long time. That's 6 days.
Well, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
A day
that's
of
like
driving.
7 or 8 days. Yeah.
And you know, Ryan can't drive in the dark because he can't see. So that means he's got to come to Dallas. So that's a day for him to come to Dallas. And then next day, drive up there. And then literally probably 2 days for him to get home, too. So he has two extra days.
But are we in Morrow again this year?
Same place.
Perfect. And if it's as cold as it is, do you think we can get your eyelids froze shut again?
I imagine. I will.
There's not a video on this because I'd love to show the picture of your eyelids shut.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Time I walk across that and I turn around and look at you and go, why won't he turn around backwards and walk? I don't know why he's walking straight head into that shit.
Because I was trying to catch you, and if I figured if I could catch you, I would never find the truck.
I turn around, I'd walk 100 yards like, shit, man, my eyes are messed up. I get them all cleaned up, and I turn around and like, all right, I'm going the right way. Turn back around the backwards and walk. And I was like, I know better. That stuff's bad. And Ryan never did nothing but head straight into it.
Dude, I was never going to lose sight of you. If I did, I would have just walked and walked and walked and walked.
I don't know how you could see me.
I couldn't.
Exactly. Your eyes were coated. I got him in the trunk. It's like, oh my God, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, I was in bad shape. Get in here. I was in bad shape.
I don't even know how cold it was that day.
I think.
What do you think, Jason?
I think -6 was as cold as it got that day.
Like 4 degrees when we set up, and literally 4 degrees when we set up, and it was blowing 20 miles an hour.
I mean, all I can say is I was so pissed at myself for sending that 10-gauge with the Louisiana boys.
Yep.
And lo and behold, the extension that I had, that fits a Benelli Nova, not a Beretta A400.
Wow. Well,
but whatever.
There'll be a few extra blingy guns there this year. Ryan's already got his back from Cerakote. Mine's gonna take a little longer to get back, but I have a dedicated goose gun now for conservation season, and it's gonna be pretty epic when I get it back.
It's, I do too. Mine's called a Browning 10-gauge, and I ain't letting nobody have it this time.
Oh. wait till you see the we'll call it the paint scheme on this bad boy when I get it back. It'll probably be close to end of November before I get it back from the Cerakote.
Really,
guy.
That long?
Dude, when I talked to him,
slow.
He had between when I talked to him on Friday and dropped it off the next Monday, he had 8 more people drop stuff off Friday afternoon and that Saturday. So I got put behind those, and he already had like 12 in line in front of me.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's got a, I don't know, never used him before. We'll see how good it turns out.
Tony, did you see that? It's
his
OG Stoger, right?
It's my OG Stoger, but
gotcha.
It's gonna be epic when it comes back.
Awesome.
Tony, did you see the pictures of the one I did?
No.
Let's see if I can send it to you right now.
He copied every other duck hunter, every other millennial out there.
Hey, you're only young once, right?
Yeah, but you're not young anymore.
Oh, I got a great idea for the next one.
Yeah.
It just came to me right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, it did. Sure did.
So you're going to go buy a new gun and drop it off tomorrow?
I'm going to have to.
Nice. Hey.
I've got a great idea.
I got a good idea, too. Well, I guess it wouldn't look a whole lot different, but you could do the like the Donald Duck with the gun.
That would be cool.
Do it all Donald Duck colors and put Donald on the stock.
Where's this dang picture at? Recent, all photos, albums, recents.
You trying to find the one of your gun?
Yeah.
I got it in a text.
Here we go. Add. Let's see if they. Oh, I sent you guys the wrong picture. Sorry.
I'll send it. I got it. I found it.
That's pretty cool, Tony. It's, you know, you got to have some fun with it, right?
That one come through, Tony?
All I got is free SMS junk removal.
Yeah, that was the wrong one.
It's coming.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah. Did you get it, Tony?
No, not yet.
Oh.
There it is. What is this, Louis Vuitton looking thing or what?
That's it.
Looks like my wife's purse. Is that what you got going on there?
Yes, sir.
Damn merch going on.
Hey, that fool's bougie, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Is that a damn Benelli?
It's a
fucking Stoger.
Benelli, man. You buy the cheapest shotgun you can buy.
That son of a.
Oh, what the hell?
That's exactly what I told him, dude. You don't.
About to say cheap, what?
Dude, that's what I told him.
It doesn't allow cheap. What are you talking about? I told you about this. Sitka's going to reclaim their shit if you keep shooting that Stoger stuff.
I told him, I said, man, you can't go put a Louis print on a freaking $700 shotgun. It's got to be like a $3,000. It's got to be like a $3,000 shotgun. I mean, because a fucking you can't touch a purse for under like $2,000.
That's way cheaper than a purse and way cooler.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to show up and they're going to look at him and go, this guy's got $3,000 in clothes and he's got a $500 shotgun.
Oh, the best is...
How stupid was that?
So
where's his priorities are? He's worried about dressing and not shooting.
Well, here's the... Here's going to be the...
He says he's warm.
The best part of all this... The guy we're going with, Cadillac Creek, Toby Brolin, the one that owns it, is the one that started this Louis Vuitton stuff on his shotgun probably 5 or 6 years ago. So we're going on this crane hunt, and Ryan's going to be copying him, but he's got a fucking Stoger. And now, I can't talk too much shit because I'm doing it to my OG Stoger that's like 12 years old, but... Mine's not going to be Louis print. Mine is fitting to be done to a Stoger. What I'm having done.
Well, you know what those Louisiana boys said? You couldn't imagine how cloud nine they were when they shot that 10 gauge. I mean, they went through a whole case of my ammo. Do you remember them coming back or... We had to keep switching guns. We quit shooting anything but the 10 gauge. It's like, what? There's three of you. I know, we switched. It's like, what about the rest of them? I mean, they had a ton. They had more birds than we had. And there was six of us.
Yep.
One gun.
Hey, I'm going the opposite way. I think I'm about to buy me a 28 gauge.
My daughter shoots one.
My daughter has a 20 gauge. But Cash just got a 20 gauge over and under. But, yeah, I think I'm going to buy a 28 gauge, man. I got to...
Well...
When you hunt with Ryan, you know he's blind, right? So he... Like, chances of him hitting a bird, I mean, you can make it a little more fun shooting a 28 gauge.
That is very true. You know, can't help it that he's blind in one eye.
Hey, he did buy a nice gun, though. He bought that, Browning, Synergy. Route 4 dove season.
It's a pretty nice gun.
It's a real nice gun. It weighs 38 pounds, but it's a nice gun. It's a nice gun. It shoots good.
You know, I bought a 20-gauge Beretta Silver Pigeon, and it's light as a feather, and just happened to luck in on it. I think I paid like a grand for this thing. It's like a $2,800 gun. I got it used, and it's in nice shape. And
I'll give you $1,200 for it.
Yeah, I know. Everybody would. So I bring it home. My wife's like, what is that for? It's another gun. I'm like, I know, but this one's for which girl? Hey, girls, which one do you want it? All right, I want that one, Daddy. Okay, perfect. And I think they were 5 years old at that time. They love it because it has all these duck engravings. I mean, it's pretty. And I had it for about a year or so, and I'm like, I'm tired of shooting the 10 gauge because I just, every 12 gauge I bought, I didn't like. And so I started shooting the 20 gauge, that 20 gauge. For 2 years, I shot that 20 gauge out in the duck field. And I mean, I've been blasting ducks with that 20 gauge. And my one friend's with me one time. He's like, I shot this goose. I mean, it comes over and boom, boom. I load both shells on him and my buddy finally gets his 12 gauge out. Boom! Drops him. I'm like, he goes, don't put that 20 gauge up. Don't bring it back out here on this wetland again. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. Probably is a little light for this. So that's when I picked up a Beretta A500, little cheap 12 gauge. And man, I just shoot lights out. And now I've bought several other 12 gauge. And every time I go back to that old Beretta A500 that only shoots a 3-inch shell, and I just drop ducks like it's nothing with it. It doesn't look good. It's rusted up. So I'm kind of like you with that Stoger. Sometimes it doesn't matter how much you spend on them. You get comfortable with a good gun. Don't matter what the name is. I believe shoot whatever you're comfortable with.
Well, we'll see. I bought two new duck guns here recently. I bought a A5 And then I bought a Browning Maxis as well. So,
I bought that Red A400 Extrema just because I could put an extension on it. And then they sent me the wrong extension, and that A400 hadn't had a shot through it yet, because every time I went to shoot once through it, I did shoot one time, because that's when it would blow the end off of it. But I don't know if y'all remember that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Guy's like, here, shoot mine. I'm like, I don't want your gun. I already spent all this money on that. I'm going back to the truck. I'm bad. Like a little toddler. Mad at myself because I brought the extra gun and sent it with somebody else. But either way, that was a great hunt.
That was an awesome hunt.
Yeah, that was a hell of a hunt, dude. I mean, we talk about that hunt all the time. I talk to my son about it all the time. I talk to my wife about it all the time. And then the boy band is all on board this year, so that should be pretty exciting.
So
hey, I'm just ready to show up and see Jason laying in the floor again. I mean, that's all I care about.
He
hadn't talked about that, about him being horizontal.
Oh yeah, we talked about it on our very first podcast.
Mm.
Oh yeah, there ain't no shame in my game. We talked about me hanging out of the truck too the whole way to that hunt the first morning.
When you talk shit to the shirt girl.
Yeah.
I remember him showing up going, I shoot better drunk than I do sober.
Hey.
Oh, he nailed the first part.
He does, believe it or not.
Hey, we had that one duck hunt where Jerry had to drive me up there that morning after a Christmas party the night before.
That's what I was talking about, man. Jason. I wasn't talking about the goose hunt. I was talking about the duck hunt. You showed up, and he's like, I was still drunk. I'm like, oh, my God. He's like, okay, well, let's go shoot some ducks then.
We did.
Yes, you are.
I didn't expect anything, but hey, you did good. That was good.
Well, we've hit an hour, so probably time to call it quits. Hey, I will say before we go, our little Facebook North Texas waterfowl hunting page, I thought it exploded last year after like 2 years of nothing. Dude, it is freaking crazy this year.
I think it's crazy, and here's the thing. You know, you started that, and then I think you messaged me. It's like, hey, man, got a Facebook page. It's just for us friends, so that way we can keep up with what we kill. And for, I don't know, Jason, what we have, 2-3 years
I'm looking at it.
People maybe tops.
I'm looking at it right now. It was created 4 years ago. So in the first 2 years, there was, I don't think there was 30 people in it. That would be pushing it.
Really?
And then you were like, hey, I was like, hey, let me add a few people. And you're like, okay, add a few people. It's like, okay. So I added some people. And the next thing you know, you added some people. And the next thing you know, man, we got a big ass group of fellow hunters. Sometimes I look at it and go, all right, guys, I'm tired of seeing advertisements. This was supposed to be us talking shit with each other and showing our birds and having a good time and being friends and teaching each other. But all in all, it still doesn't matter. It's like, damn, this is cool, you know?
All right, so it was almost 5 years ago. I just found it. It says the group was created on January 3rd, 2017.
All right.
So
there's 2,000 members. Cool.
There's 2,000 members.
Yep. Podcast needs to be on this one too. We should be able to put it on the, pump on the duck page.
Yes, I'll do it. I'll share it on there.
The, one thing about it is, you know, think about it. We have, the CEO of, Gator Waiters on here. I don't remember his name, but his picture's on our heading.
Yep.
Shit, I can't remember his name. Either way, but, you know what I mean?
I think there's some big names on there. We need to bump up the participation a little. I need to post more stuff on there and just to kind of poke people to be more involved with stuff.
Matt, there's a guy named Dry Creek Outfitters named Rustin Morgan. He's kin to my kinfolk. He's out of the Wichita Falls areas. I don't know him personally, but what I do know from my family, he's got a pretty good, solid operation going with some ducks. So might need to get him on here and talk about some pretty cool stuff to be kind of recommending people to, because
okay.
He's kind of like the Arkansas guys we go with, you know. He's top notch. Got his own lodge. He started for nothing, you know.
So I see this too. Jeff Stanfield from Stanfield Outfitters in Knox City's on here now too.
No way.
Yeah, he joined 5 months ago.
All right.
So, trying to see. Scrolling. It's hard to scroll through 2,000 members quickly.
I know. It's tough.
So, but, you know, I think we've done a good job of weeding out the BS and, you know.
There's not a whole lot of crap on there.
No, the questions that we have to be a member are, I don't care if they get them right. Long as they attempt to answer them and just check that they accept the rules, which really aren't any rules, but it keeps the spam shit off of it by doing that.
Yep.
Then you remember, what's my buddy's name on there from a few weeks ago? Give him a shout out.
Dakota Hammonds, I think.
Yeah, give Dakota a shout out, man. Dakota's got runs a one hell of a guide service, I hear. He'll ask you 1 week how to hunt ducks, and a week later he's running a guide service. So if you want to waste $100 on a hunt, get a hold of this Dakota Hammonds guy. He don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Is that a good person?
Yeah, that was...
What was the last thing that I sent you, though?
Oh, he's leveling houses.
Yeah, he ain't duck hunting. He's leveling houses.
Yeah, you sent me that text the other day. He's a house leveler now. Where's that at? What'd you send me? We level houses at a good rate and always get the job done. Message me for any questions.
Yes, perfect. Yes, that was it.
Yep. Yep, so he'll take you on a goose hunt and he'll level your house at the same time.
I'm looking at one of his posts right now. Here's a new property a farmer's going to let me hunt for ducks. I've never got to go buy corn in North Texas. Interesting.
Yeah. I think all his other stuff got taken down when him and I started arguing.
Yeah, y'all were chatting peacefully.
Yeah, it wasn't peaceful at all, but...
in this picture.
So when are you going to hire him, Jason?
Yeah. Actually, we're...
ask the question.
He looks like he's 16.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He, I don't know. We are working on a job in Pottsboro right now. It's pretty easy, but he could probably screw it up, so I think I'll pass.
Hey, it's kind of like this. You got to live and let live, and some people got it, some people don't. And shit, some people just got to talk a lot.
Hey, I was all for helping him. I think I commented on a couple of his early posts, like trying to help the guy. And then I think what got me was when he started offering guided hunts. And then I was going to let it be. And then somebody else said something to him about it. They called him out on it. And then he reported it to me. And I was like, dude, it's a legit call out. I mean, a week ago you're asking duck hunting questions and now you say you're a guide. I mean, there's nothing to report there. That's the guy called you out on it. I mean, it's a legit call out in my book. That's when, I mean, it just went downhill after that. He told me I was a bad person. I was like, okay. Then he told me I was old and gray. And I'm like, you're right. I do have a lot of gray hair. I mean, that happens when you're 42.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you're gray?
Oh, yeah.
You are the guy that looked at us and said, what color are these wires?
Oh, well, I know I'm gray because my wife and my kids constantly remind me how gray my beard is. And then we had family pictures yesterday, and they kept commenting on how much gray I had on top of my head.
So, I can't believe you're the one that says, I see all brown.
Yeah, well, not all brown. I see black, I see white, but greens and reds are pretty much brown.
It's not a good thing when you're looking at 100 wires that are different colors.
Hey, that machine works again. You remember that when I cut all those wires?
I know, and that's why I'm saying, I told Casey that, I was like, it's the freakiest thing when somebody looks at it and go, what color are these wires? I got them together. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? I can't see nothing. It's just all the same color. What? Oh, shit. We're in trouble.
Hey, that machine worked, man.
Yeah. That was the Tony. First thing I thought when you came to me and said, can we build this mud motor? What? You got some great ideas, Jason. That's why I say you'll be great.
So anyways, you seen any birds yet?
Yeah. We got birds.
Okay.
We got birds like we want.
Well, it's early. It's early.
The crazy thing about it, Ryan, is normally we'll have blue wings here, okay? Mm-hmm. And they leave right after. I mean, by October, they're gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, there may be some places that have a few, but last week, there were still 100 blue wings on my wetland. I'm like, this is not normal. Now, mm-hmm. we got this cold weather right now, and they should be going south. I mean, they're not supposed to be here.
Right.
But I'm seeing a decent amount of geese. I don't know that we'll have a great opener. I'm not saying we will. I may go out there and not see nothing. I can tell you right now, we don't have enough water to it's not the water that I like to see. I like to right. see lots of water. I want to, when I get out there with the side by side, I've got to push water to get to the blind and then I'm good, you know. But right now we don't have that. And that's the first year in 3 or 4 years that I haven't had water like that. But
yep.
Hopefully we get some water and we'll be good. If not, then they say every 7 years you have a bad year, and getting about to my seventh year on this place, so it's about time to maybe not. But, you know, 4 years ago, there's a place called Sticky's Meat Market in Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
and I said, a friend of mine said, let's send all the duck meat up there, and sorry, we've been eating all the duck meat. And they're like, well, we got 30 pounds. Let's send that up there. So, all right, fine, let's send 30 pounds. So we do. And they mix it with somebody else's duck meat. They send us some sausage back. And they're like, damn, this is good sausage. So the next year, you got to have at least 60 pounds of your own. So we sent 120 pounds of mallard breasts, only mallard breasts, up there. And we end up with 240 pounds of summer sausage.
Okay.
Great. I mean, couldn't complain for nothing. So for the last 4 years, every bit of duck meat we kill, I send to Seagies in Tulsa, and I get summer sausage. So the last 2 years, I've sent 76 pounds of mallard meat, mallard breasts, not mallards in general, but just breasts.
Right.
And right now I still have probably 70 pounds of mallard or summer sausage left in the freezer. So, by the way, y'all need to get some.
Yeah, I need some summer sausage.
I don't keep any duck meat to cook any other way because my family won't eat it. But I can tell you, my girls will grab this and every customer comes in going, where's that summer sausage at? Oh, here. Mm-hmm. Take another stick with you. I mean, everybody around here knows me. I'm good for the summer sausage. So mm-hmm. It's good, but if I send it somewhere else, not the same. The Siggy's in Tulsa, state of the art. You go there, it's totally different than your normal processing company. They're very commercial as far as the way they look and act, but it's like your down home type place.
Right.
So,
is that the place y'all fly up there in the small plane to drop your stuff off?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We load it all up in the plane. We fly up there, drop it off, and then when it's due, either Jerry's one of our hunting partners. He's the president of Verizon in Tulsa, and I think he's like 2,000 employees underneath him or something. Plus, he over the Richland plant, but he's good friends with this guy that owns Seas, and he's the one that got him to make it for us in the first place. But he'll either bring it to me, or my father-in-law and I will jump in the plane and head to Tulsa and pick it back up. But yeah, fly it up there, pick it up, and that's how I learned how to get some of my places. My father-in-law and I, we jumped in a plane. It's like I got my iPad, turn on Lane Glide, and we're flying around. And I'm like, oh, I know him. I've known him since I was a kid. Oh, look at all the ducks on that place. I mean, we did this after duck season. I flew all over Fannin County and had my Lane Glide app showing me every landowner. That's how I found my places. So I didn't think about that earlier. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
So can you see ducks on the water from the air?
You get low enough, you can.
Yeah, sure.
And when your father-in-law is the one flying the plane, you can kind of do what you want to do.
Kind of dip it and dive it where you want to go.
But, you know, in now that I have a drone, it's kind of the way I do it. When I set my blinds up and I actually brush them in, I get the drone up and I look and I go, this is what the duck is seeing. If you don't have it brushed correctly, they'll see right in there. I mean,
and you can see that from the drone?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the first thing I did one year is I flew my drone on my buddy's 750 acres and it's like, look at this blind. This is good. And I'm like, I flew right over it and I said, no, it's not. I can see you right there. And it's like, oh my God. So we altered it and bam, we start killing ducks out of it.
That's cool. Good advice.
The flying your blinds with a drone is the best way to know if you're going to be able to hide from them ducks, because ducks, they see you well. Geese see you even better. They're the best. So those snow geese that we're shooting, those guys, they knew what they were doing when they were getting them in on us.
Yeah.
That's good to know. And it's kind of crazy because they're just using those A-frame blinds too, but I guess they, you know, that's the new rage nowadays, those A-frame blinds, and I guess they hide you good.
I think it's the more that if you can be still and you can get everybody still,
yeah,
it really doesn't matter if you're sitting in an A-frame or whatever. If you go moving, they're going to know you're there. If you just stay still, they won't know you're there.
Right.
I don't know how many of those blinds I've flown over my drone and gone, look at all these ducks. And then you put somebody in the blind with you and they're like, oh, look at that duck. Oh, and their head's moving around. Those ducks ain't coming in. They know you're there. I mean, it's just the way it is.
You guys have all the wind we had today?
Oh, it's terrible. It's still blowing.
Yeah. They say 20 to 30 tomorrow.
Hey, it was blowing bad enough where we were at. The neighbor next door to the house we're working on had some sheets of insulation piled up outside, and he had it tarped and tied down. It pulled his tarp off, and the insulation flew into his Harley and knocked it over.
Damn.
Yeah.
that's a bad day.
That yeah.
They go sideways. That's a bad day.
That poor dude had a bad day. He came back. I guess he had went somewhere to get a tire plug or something on his Harley, like right as the sun was coming up. So it was freezing his ass off and plugged a tire. And I guess it didn't work. So then he took his wife's car to work, I guess. And then, because when the Harley fell over, I went and knocked on their door to let them know. And she's like, oh, he's going to be fucking pissed. He's at work. I got to call him. And she come out like 30 minutes later and she says, hey, he asked if you thought you could pick his bike up off the ground. I'm like, yeah, I'll pick his bike up for him.
Oh boy.
Like, oh, that dude had a bad day today.
Yeah, not a joke. I was on a roof today. My hat blew off. I was up on the roof for like 2 seconds. My hat blew off and went to like the next county. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow. I wouldn't be on a roof today. My fat ass would fall in the wind.
You'd be anchored up, dude. It's all good.
All right, guys. Well, we're at an hour and 20 minutes. So,
all right.
Get it wrapped up. And, Tony, I guess we'll, I'll holler at you tomorrow. I think, I'm going to do that, that property, those properties with you probably. I don't know if Jerry and JD are going to get in. JD seemed interested. So, one way or another, we'll probably get in with you on those.
No worries. And, that was, my guys, own the land that I lease already. How many years ago? It's before that I leased the big property that y'all came to that had the lodge and all that, had two homes and had the home out north of Honey Grove.
Okay, yeah.
Home in Windham, but with the pool table and shit, that's pretty cool. But it's got a great lake. It's got another wooded pond that is kind of deep and holds some divers, but it holds some other good ducks too. But he come to me and he's like, hey, why don't you go look at this place? So I go look at it. And my dog trainer at that time went with me and he's like, let's see if we can kill some ducks. And I was like, all right, let's do it. We're sitting out there on this 30-acre lake, and all these ducks come just pouring in. I'm like, shit. But they weren't quite right beside us, but we did kill some ducks. And then I say, oh, I'll look to the right, and I'm like, where'd those deer come from? It's like, I mean, this place is just majestic because it's got trees all out in this big old lake. And, I mean, deer just walking by while you're shooting ducks. And I'm like, it's pretty cool. I haven't had a place like this before. And there's plenty of other places on it. But then he's like, well, why don't you go look at this other place? And I look at it, and he's like, go see what you can find. So I shoot the drone over it, and I find birds all over it. And I didn't lease it because it just seemed so spread out. And the first time that I got spread out was on all that property that you came and seen, you know, North Honey Grove and there in Windham. And the problem I found out was when you get so spread out mileage wise, you end up not being able to hunt good because you spend too much time trying to figure out where the ducks are and you don't get to capitalize on where the ducks are.
Gotcha.
And my one place, it worked out great because I'd hunt that. And my one buddy, he had the property right across from that, and it has tons of hunting on it. And we just started hunting back and forth. So we partnered up, and he has a 100-acre lake, and he has several other ponds and wetlands that we built. And I built I've built 12 duck blinds. I sat here for 3 years just welding and welding and welding, building duck blinds. And now all you do is pull up to a duck blind, pull the ducks out, throw them out in the water, go park the ranger, and you're hunting. I mean, that's where it is for 1,100 acres. And when I take on new properties, it seems like a burden because now you're back to building again. Okay. Well, these places I already know, and I've already hunted a few times, and they're good hunting places, but I just didn't keep them because I already had so much at my disposal. And he came to me this year. He's like, hey, do you want them? I'd really rather you just have everything. I'm like, okay, no problem. Let me see what I can do. And if I can't, I'll let you know. And that just happened 2 days ago. So hopefully, you know, it works out good. If not, you know, I mean, one thing about it, Jason, whether we don't kill nothing at this place or the other place, we got our honey holes that, you know, that I kill ducks on all the time, and you're more welcome to go with me. So I kind of feel like we'll just partner up, and now we've got, I don't know, at least 1,000 acres to hunt on, you know, pretty cool place.
Yeah.
And we can hog hunt, deer hunt, duck hunt, turkey hunt, and I've shot all those species on all these places.
That's one thing I've never done. I slung an arrow one time at a turkey, and I knocked tail feathers off, and that was it. And I want a turkey hunt. I want to start trying to do a little bit of that. So that's good to know you got turkeys up there.
Oh, yeah. The extra place definitely has turkeys, and I did shoot a turkey one time. We were shooting out there. We were out there in the spring, and my nephew that you've met that went with us on that roost hunt, Isaac, he's like, look at those turkeys. And I said, oh, yeah. Pull the rifle out. Boom. Yep, those turkeys are gone. So, but, yeah, it happens. The the Easterns are what's here, not the Rios. And when I used to hunt up in Warrior Lake in Oklahoma, the Rios are great because you find the roosts. You literally just go in the evenings and blow your coyote call or your goose call or whatever, and they call back to you, and you'd see where they are in the roost and set up 100 yards from it, and boom, you killed you a big-ass tom. And these Easterns are like hunting deer. You got to hunt them. They're different. So it'll be a little different, but, yeah, we'll have them in the spring,
good.
April, May. We hunt those there, and I know that this property has been in the family 150 years, and nobody hunts on it.
Wow.
They do allow duck hunting on it, but nobody deer hunts. So there is I've got pictures of some really big bucks out there. The problem is that my friends have their cows out there. So if you want to see the deer consistently, it's weird. You can dump the corn on the ground, but if you go 3 days, the cows have found the corn, and now the deer aren't wanting to come around it. But if you built a fence, the deer come and come and come, and there's some big bucks out there. And, I just, as you know, I really don't care about the deer. I care about the ducks. So,
You know, I'm the same way. We talked about it on the first podcast. Like my deer lease is much for dove hunting, and I know I can go shoot deer for meat there. So the little that I pay for it, it's worth it. And my kids enjoy it, and I'm, you know, Cass is about to that point. She's probably can start duck hunting some, but you know, Knox can't, but Knox loves going and sitting in the deer blind and watching the deer. So,
well, Rowan has definitely told me this year, she goes, when can I start shooting ducks? I'm tired of sitting in the blind. So, she's ready. I will tell you that for the last 3 years, that's one great about my buddy is, his ranch, everything is a box blind. So you have these very expensive fiberglass blinds sitting up in the air. And I take my little buddy heater, and Rowan sits on her iPad and watches Netflix and whatever the hell she's doing, YouTube or whatever. And I got the little hotspot, Wi-Fi hotspot in there for her, and I deer hunt. So she's, you know, warm and playing on an iPad, and I'm hunting deer, and the same way with the duck hunting. Y'all probably don't know it, but anytime she goes with me, she sits in the ranger, and like when we're at the mallard hole, what I call it, the ranger's sitting right behind where I'm sitting, and there's plenty of times she's like, hey, there's ducks on the water. What are y'all doing? So, she's ready. We'll have to get Cass up here too.
Yeah. We'll have to get them girls, let them shoot some birds this year.
Ryan, whenever you're ready to come up, you know you're more welcome.
Oh yes, sir. I'll keep you posted. It'll probably be in December though. I think I count on a calendar that I'll be home like 11 days in November or 10 days in November.
Who was it that you brought with you when Jason didn't come?
McKay.
Is that McKay? McKay. That was McKay. That's what I was
thinking. The boat and went in circles. Yeah.
Well, I know McKay. I was just making sure that's who it was. I was thinking it was.
Yep. Same dude. He talks about that hunt. We hunted that property that one time and all the time. We had such a good hunt that time. And we were trying to like leave to go home. I had to work the next day, yada, yada, yada. And the birds just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. You could have hunted that thing all day long. I think we left at like 11 or 12. And they just kept coming.
Hey, Michaela went all out this year. He's been on a Sitka kick. He's been, I think, spending every spare dime he's had in the last month on Sitka stuff. So he's all decked out now.
Well, I just love going out there and kicking y'all's ass in my Magellan Club stuff.
Well,
give me my Magellan and my cheap ass Remington shells, and I'll be good.
All right, guys.
As long as it goes bang.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to do another one of these middle of duck season or after duck season or something so we can talk about some of our hunts up there and bullshit about it.
Yep. But,
all right. Y'all have a good Friday tomorrow. And
yes, sir.
Holler at y'all later.
All right.
Living life.
Yes, sir. Hey, Tony, last question.
Yes, sir.
What are you for Halloween?
Me? I'm a furniture guy.
Furniture salesman, man.
Yeah. Hey, we need to do a podcast when we're in the blind. Can we do this on video?
We can. We haven't set it up. I got to figure out the easiest way to do it. I have a recorder and stuff that like my stuff plugs into and my phone's plugged into it for y'all. But yeah, we can... I need to do some research on it and figure out, but it can be done. We can do it on video. Let's do that. Let's plan on that. Let's do a trip where we have a couple people up and I'll get it figured out by then and we'll do a live one in a blind.
That'd be fun.
We got to do that for a trial in the blind, at least here, because then we got no pressure and then we got to definitely do it when we go snow goose hunting.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that will be epic, especially with the guides there. Especially for the same ones.
When y'all go crane hunting, it might be epic there, so you need to get figured out earlier.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll get busy on that. All right, man. Everybody have a good night. Live that life, guys. Later.
All right. Bye-bye.